അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد Muhammadan Rasulullah Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah Hayya ala salat Hayya al-falah Hayya al-falah As-salatu khairum min an-naum As-salatu khairum min an-naum Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar La ilaha أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
آمين I mean, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. As-salamu alaykum, my dear, wonderful brothers and sisters, and Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother, Abdul Muthakir Muhammad, welcoming you to the Ummah Reflects, our podcast where we work and strive to aid, to help, the believers to get off to a good start every morning during the month of Ramadan. We thank you for joining us, and we pray that the words of our guest speakers will aid us all in our growth and development as believers in Allah. Oh, brothers and sisters, we were blessed to hear from our brother and friend yesterday, Imam Qasim Amin Nathari, who talked to us and gave us inspiring words and spirited words, and we thank him for being with us yesterday and giving us such a beautiful talk. All praises are due to Allah. We thank him for his words, and we thank Allah for our guest speaker today. And to take us further into our program will be our brother and friend, Brother Jamil Muhammad. Brother Jamil.
Assalamu alaikum, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Loud and clear, my brother.
Thank you, dear brother. Salam. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. It is my pleasure and honor and divine privilege to greet you all with the greetings of Assalamu alaikum and the seasonal greeting of Ramadan Mubarak. Well, brothers and sisters, we are back together again by Allah's grace, by Allah's grace. And so I join you in thanking Almighty Allah for blessing us to be back here with each other on this penultimate day of the holy month of Ramadan. There's so much to be thankful for this morning. We won't be long, but we want to make sure that we emphasize the real joy that comes to the believer, not only during this season of the year, but particularly during this season of the year. We thank Allah for allowing us to think of our brothers and sisters around the world who have little or no food or drink to fast from. One of the great directions of this month of Ramadan from Allah through the Prophet, peace and prayers be upon him, is that we do good deeds during the month of Ramadan and enhance them and intensify them and concentrate them during this month. And so whether in Gaza or in Gary, whether in the Sudan or in South Philadelphia, if you're in Yemen or if you're in Youngstown, we are grateful not just to feed our people a meal, but to work against the forces of injustice, greed, warmongering, and all kinds of evil that produce the conditions of hunger, poverty, want among the people of the world. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us in the first day of this month of Ramadan this year, the Gregorian calendar calls it 2024. According to the Islamic calendar, it is the year 1445 after the Hijra. He told us at the beginning of the month that the sun in this hour would rise in the west. He said it does not mean that the earth would reverse its course or the sun would reverse its course and that there would be a change in the direction of the rise of the sun, even though now there are a lot of unusual phenomena that are taking place in the heavens with the signs of the sun and the moon, and you'll hear more about that, I'm sure. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us that what this signifies is that guidance and light to reinvigorate the Ummah throughout the world would start in the West. It would start in the West. This program originates in the part of the world called the West. We make some distinction in direction, although the Holy Quran teaches us that Allah is the Lord of the East and the West, that it all belongs to Allah. In this hour, we are rising up in the West with an idea that is changing and reinvigorating the world of Islam, whether others who have joined on to the old way of thinking like it or not. I'm so sorry, dear brothers and sisters, if you want to hold on to something that brings the people nothing but a gaggling cacophony of argument back and forth about this law and that principle and this legal idea and that rule and that regulation, and the world that you say you serve is in tatters. The world that you say you serve is torn up. As we used to say back in Cincinnati, tore up from the flow up. Yet, you then say that you have the superior idea. No, it would do you well and would serve the entire population of the world for us to listen to the idea coming to us from the children, the sons and daughters and progeny of those who had been enslaved in America. There's an idea here. So if you hear us feeling confident and filled with joy, it is not a confidence in ourselves as opposed to Allah, but like the Apostle Paul over there in the Bible. Oh, yes, I said Bible. Hold on, Muslims, hold on. But he said, I don't boast and brag in myself. I boast about Allah, God. It is God in us that causes us to feel the joy at 4 o'clock in the morning in the Central Time Zone, 2 a.m. on the West Coast. It's the joy that causes us to feel this way in the early morning, filled with the spirit of Allah. Because fasting is for Allah. How do you know this? Well, a perusal of the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari tells us that Abu Huraira reports of the Prophet, peace and prayers be upon him, that about fasting, Allah says of the fasting person, he has left his food, drink, and desires for my sake. Allah says the fast is for me, so I will reward the fasting person for it. And the reward of good deeds is multiplied 10 times. I didn't get a degree in mathematics, but I can tell you 10 times good deeds being multiplied sounds like good news to me. Sounds like I can be overjoyed to me. Sounds to me that I can be invigorated and uplifted and encouraged by the fact that I reflect that Allah himself intervened in our affair. Think of how beautiful that is. That Allah, the Lord of all the world, would care enough about us as his people and each individual within that people that he would intervene and provide guidance in the challenges and affairs of our life. Remember, a couple of nights ago, we said in the Night of Majesty that in that night, the angels and his spirit descend in it, and they deal with every affair. That means your and my affairs too. So as this program starts this morning, don't feel funny if you feel happy. Don't feel like there's something wrong with you if you just can't hardly hold yourself down because you're running to and fro in your own thinking, saying, oh my Allah, thank you for blessing us to be here today. Some in the world may hate you for being joyful. Look at him, look at him, all happy and everything. Ugh. No, don't let nobody steal your joy. Islam is yours, and Allah gave it to you. Therefore, no one can take it from you. I thank you this morning for gathering around your instruments, you know, your radios, your phones, your computers. A special thanks this penultimate day of Ramadan to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for his wise guidance in this community and his willingness to offer counsel to others throughout the Muslim world, and his wonderful example to us of how to treat people right even when they treat you wrong. May Allah forever bless the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for this kind, wonderful spirit that has a limit to it, but he's showing us the example of how to treat our people. to Dr. Nisa Islam Muhammad and the staff of this wonderful Ramadan, the Ummah Reflects. To my dear brother Muthakar, it's always good to hear your voice, my dear brother. To Sister Majida and Brother Nasser, who I literally watched you grow from infancy into fine, strong Muslims. May Allah forever bless you and your family. Brother Shaheed, brother, you like the cleanup man on the baseball lineup. We get on base, but that beautiful tone of yours always hits a home run, knocks us in, and we score every time. Thank you, my dear brother, for your wonderful spirit. And thank all of you who tune into this program. Thank you. You make the atmosphere electric. You make it thrilling and exciting to be here because the spirit of Allah is present and we can feel. Even if we can't put our finger on it, we can feel it and know that it's real, that Allah is blessing somebody right now in a way that you've never been blessed before. I don't want to sound like no televangelist, but I do want to sound like I'm happy because I am. And so I give way now, brother and sister, thanking you for hearing me this morning, thanking all of you for the time you've spent in this effort with us this month. Thank you so very much for working with us and us working together to remove from all of our worship the vanity, the selfishness, the self-righteousness, the egotism. Take it away from us, dear Allah, and reduce us to that which is most essential, a soul in the presence of his Lord, a soul in the presence of her Lord, and make of us Muslims. That is our prayer. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the brother I want to present to you again, 2 days in a row, I have an opportunity to produce an imam who is my brother and my friend. This presentation this morning will be heard from our dear brother, the student national imam of the Nation of Islam. Beautiful, humble man. I love this brother. And I think you will, too, once you hear him. Will you join me in welcoming to the microphones my dear brother and yours, Imam Sultan Rahman Muhammad from the Nation of Islam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We greet you with the greeting words of peace. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. These are our original words of Arabic that mean we first seek refuge in Allah from Satan, the accursed enemy. And we begin in his most righteous names, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. And we bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And we further bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family. Brothers and sisters, Ramadan Mubarak. I thank Allah for his divine intervention in our affairs in the person of Master Farooq Muhammad, the great Mahdi. His work through his servant, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, testifies to his presence among us in the fulfillment of his messianic assignment of this day and hour. And it is these two, Master Farooq Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that have produced a fusion in our midst, the mercy of Allah's manifestation of the criterion and discernment to prove that there is a greater light than Satan and his world's men, the whole of them. We begin, who is the Ummah? And what is it reflecting? Where is the Ummah? And what direction is it headed? And where is the Ummah on the scales of time? Ummah is an Arabic word, and it refers to the world or the community of believers. As a theological concept, the Ummah is meant to transcend national, racial, and class divisions to unite all Muslims within the Muslim diaspora, and in truth, all of the human family. This is reflected in the language of the Constitution of Medina, the city of the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah Ta'ala has revealed in the Holy Quran, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَبَعَثَ اللَّهَ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. Allah Most High has revealed mankind is a single nation, Ummah. So Allah raised prophets as bearers of good news and as warners. And He revealed with them the book with truth, that it might judge between people concerning that in which they differed. And none but the very people who were given it differed about it. Clear arguments had come to them, envying one another. So Allah has guided by His will those who believe to the truth about which they differed. And Allah guides whom He pleases to the right path. This appears in Surah 2, verse 213 of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, it is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who writes, "We are not an organization. We are a world." I use the same Holy Quran that all Muslims use, the book that is universally recognized as being 100% true, writes the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Message to the Black Men on page 322. Brothers and sisters, the Ummah is one community. It is a nation. It is defined in the original Arabic of the Holy Quran as a group of living things having certain characteristics or circumstances in common. Any grouping of human or animal. It also signifies creation or a generation. Allah Ta'ala has revealed in the Quran in Surah 6, verse 38, "There is no animal in the earth nor a bird that flies on its two wings, but they are communities like yourselves. We have not neglected anything in the book. Then to their Lord will they be gathered." Brothers and sisters, believers, the term in the Quranic context revealed to us that Allah gives each individual species its own ummah, originating from a single source, as we have originated from one single source. Nafsun wahida, the single soul or single self from which all humanity has come. It is the reality that nearly 2 billion Muslims around the world are observing the annual fast now in the last 10 days of the holy month of Ramadan in commemoration of the revelation of the Holy Quran. It has been a holy time for Christians in observation of Lent, leading into Easter, which for them commemorates the 40 days Jesus spent fasting in the desert where He prevailed over the temptation of Satan and the resurrection of Jesus. And Jews observed Passover according to their view as a commemoration of Moses and Aaron's liberation of their followers from Egypt under the tyranny of Pharaoh. This means approximately 6.5 billion of the world's 8 billion people have collectively been engaged in the observance of religious commemorations and rituals attributed to the righteous prophets and messengers of God. Brothers and sisters, believers, Allah God will not be mocked today. We are living in the change of worlds, wherein all things must be made anew. This Quranic word ummah is derived from amma, meaning to repair or to direct one's course to a thing to seek with aim. Ummah is a way, a course, a manner or mode of acting. It also means faith, religion, nation, and as we mentioned, generation, a time or period of time. Righteous person, or a person who was an object of imitation and who is known for goodness and who combines all kinds of good qualities, a person who has no equal and one who combines within himself all virtues. All praise is due to Allah. In this word, we find it has a branch that represents this word imam, as we are in the time in which Imam Mahdi, Master Farid Muhammad, is present in the world. And it is he who has established among us one that is the representation of all kinds of good qualities, one who is combining within himself all of the virtues that are necessary to represent Allah God in this time of resurrection. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes, "The new world of Islam is coming in, not the old world of Islam, but a new world of Islam. We are living in the change of worlds. The old world is going out and the new world is coming in. This is something to be happy and thankful to Allah for, to bear witness to the change of worlds." Allahu Akbar. This appears in Our Savior Has Arrived on page 144. Brothers and sisters, we are in a moment in time in which the scholars have deviated. Those that are charged with teaching the people, those who are charged with guiding the leaders, have deviated from the path of Allah and have placed the book of God behind their backs. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan guides us in these words. Allah is so gracious. He gives the scholars a chance to interpret the word of God. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was taught directly from the mouth of the great Mahdi, Master Farid Muhammad, told me that he would not give 2 cents for all your scholarship. It is the thinking of the great Mahdi and the Messiah that is now to be established. It is now removing from the world of Islam and religion wholly this thought of arrogance. It is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that prophesied of a day like this, a day when he said, my community will be destroyed because of evil scholars and ignorant worshipers. In this hour of the presence of Imam Mahdi, Master Farid Muhammad, religious scholars are particularly his opposers, and he opposes the members of the corrupted ulama, or the religious scholars, that have led the ummah to this state in which we see the weakness of the Muslim nations and the divisions exploited by the enemies of Islam through the corruption of sexism, racism, nationalism, and materialism that have adopted judgments that bend to the will of Satan. Religion will return to its original state by the purging of all corrupted and conflicted opinions to the truth, as he confounds the scholars and frees the righteous of humanity from the shackles of false religion and false religious leaders. He is establishing a universal government of peace. It is in this month of Ramadan that we are guarding against the evils of this world. It is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that writes, "If you take the prescribed fast of Ramadan, you are doing the right thing until this evil world has vanished." Why are we not in our communities, raising our communities with the life-giving message of Islam, the life-giving message of Al-Quran, the life-giving message of the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? This is the work of the great Mahdi. This is the work of the Messiah. This is the work that we must establish. Praise be to Allah for the Lord of the worlds who has come in the person of Master Father Muhammad, the great Mahdi, to demonstrate for us what it looks like to raise a nation. Brothers and sisters, dear believers, we fast and pray Allah in the name of Allah and the person of the great Mahdi, Master Father Muhammad, that we see the hereafter when in his own good time takes the devil off our planet. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You are the best nation raised up for men. You enjoin good and forbid evil, and you believe in Allah. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum salam, brother Imam. Powerful, powerful words. Thank you for being on the line with us and your beautiful, beautiful spirit and your powerful words. May Allah continue to bless you, sir. All praises are due to Allah. All right, brothers and sisters, we will have the Umar Report, and it is from our Native American perspective.
Did you know that Native Americans were directly mentioned by one of the founding fathers of Zionism? In his 1923 essay, The Iron Wall, Zev Jabotinsky argued that the only way to successfully colonize Palestine was through brute military force. He referenced what happened to indigenous people here in the Americas as an example. He writes, "My readers have a general idea of the history of colonization in other countries. The native populations, civilized or uncivilized, have always stubbornly resisted the colonists, irrespective of whether they were civilized or savage. And it made no difference whether the colonists behaved decently or not. The Pilgrim Fathers, the first real pioneers of North America, were people of the highest morality who did not want to harm anyone, least of all the Red Indians, and they honestly believed that there was room enough in the prairies for both the pale face and the redskin. Yet the native population fought with the same ferocity against the good colonists as against the bad. This is equally true of the Arabs. We may tell them whatever we like about the innocence of our aims, watering them down and sweetening them with honeyed words to make them more palatable, but they know what we want as well as we know what they do not want. They feel at least the same instinctive, jealous love of Palestine as the old Aztecs felt for ancient Mexico and the Sioux for their rolling prairies. The one thing I want to point out is that in 1923, one of the founding fathers of Zionism is labeling himself and the project of Israel as colonizers. He is referring to Palestinians as the natives of the area, comparing them to the indigenous people of the Americas. He also is glorifying the Pilgrim Fathers of the Americas, painting them as absolute saints and basically applauding how effectively they were able to slaughter and murder us and steal our land. So I genuinely want to know, how is a movement going to go from applauding and fawning over our murderers to suddenly wanting to steal our identity and claim indigeneity to the area in order to more effectively carry out the same levels of violence and genocide that happened here? Unfortunately for them, Palestinians and Native Americans are similar in many ways, including our resilience and our fighting spirit. Despite every genocidal act that the wholesome Pilgrim Fathers committed over the past 500 years, Natives are still here. Our languages are still here. Our cultures are still here. We still have our identity. And if we can survive that long of fierce, brutal colonization, I know that Palestinians will do the same. I highly encourage all of you to look up the essay, The Iron Wall, thoroughly read it so you can fully understand how deep this history goes and you can see the parallels for what they truly are, blatantly obvious. And to my fellow Natives on here, educate yourself on this so that you can educate your family, your friends, your tribal leadership. We need to boldly and loudly push back against this weaponization and bastardization of what it means to be Indigenous, especially with the opening of the Indigenous Embassy in Jerusalem on February 4th. The embassy's goal is to, quote, change anti-Israel narrative among Native peoples. They're realizing that Indigenous solidarity with Palestine worldwide is becoming a problem, and they're trying so hard to undermine that. Do not let them appeal to and use our own people in order to do that. Because, as Zev Jabotinsky himself said, Palestinian struggle and the Native American struggle are parallel and intertwined. And it doesn't matter how many embassies are open, how many bribes are given, how much propaganda is spewed. You cannot erase that bond between Palestinians and Indigenous people.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you for the Umar report. All praise is due to Allah. We will now have the fast fact from our brother, Brother Nasser. Brother Nasser.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. The fast fact of the day is Islam is about a world of possibilities. Why focus on the don'ts? Have you met Muslims whose perspective is Islam is a world of don'ts? We don't do that. We don't do this, and we really don't do that. That sounds very limiting and not at all like the beautiful faith revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He came as a mercy to all mankind to perfect our character. In an authentic hadith, Malik reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, said, I have been sent to perfect good character. That was his mission, to help us improve our character. With good character, the world belongs to us. My mother used to tell me good manners will take me places bad manners won't. Imagine what good character would do for us. Good character is seen in the unique cultural expressions of Islam. Each culture stamps Islam with their own imprint. What the Chinese Muslims do is different from what the Muslims in Senegal do, and their cultural expressions are different from the Muslims in Malaysia and even the Muslims in Costa Rica. Let's be found helping one another do more to perfect our character, instead of doing the things that turn one another away from the masjid or mosque because we don't like something about them. If someone comes to us and says they want to be a Muslim, we should be doing everything we can to help them achieve that goal. All the things we think they should be doing can come later. Help them understand there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger. If they don't know how to pray, teach them. If sisters aren't dressing properly, show them. If they are eating the wrong foods, teach them how to cook. If they anger easily, teach them patience. So much has failed our people and others. Islam is the last hope for the world. Islam is the last hope for the world. Islam isn't merely a set of rules. It's a doorway to a world brimming with possibilities. It fosters a deep connection with the divine, offering purpose and meaning in life. This connection inspires self-improvement, urging believers to cultivate virtues like kindness, justice, empathy, and compassion. It empowers individuals to reach their full potential, emphasizing knowledge, education, and continuous learning. Islam doesn't shy away from life's challenges. It provides a framework for navigating difficulties with faith and resilience. It fosters a strong sense of community where individuals support and uplift one another. Through acts of charity and social justice, Muslims actively contribute to a better world. Ultimately, Islam offers a hopeful outlook, reminding believers that even in hardship, God's mercy and forgiveness pave the way for a brighter future. In essence, Islam unlocks a world brimming with possibilities for personal growth, societal well-being, and a deep connection with the divine. As we near the end of this glorious month, remember Muslims in Palestine who are struggling to stay alive, dodging IDF airstrikes and U.S.-provided bombs. Remember the Muslims who have struggled alone this Ramadan. Remember the ones who don't have family. Remember the ones suffering from depression. Remember the ones teetering on the brink of suicide. Remember the ones who fast because they have no food or clean water. Remember what this month has taught you about yourself, and thank Allah for every blessing. Say something to help someone instead of the things we say that harm. Show people Islam is a faith of endless possibilities and not a faith of don'ts. That is the fast fact of today. Thank you for listening. Remember, Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Nasser. Thank you for such a beautiful fast fact today. May Allah continue to bless you and your family. All praises are due to Allah. All right, brothers and sisters, we're on day 29. On day 29, our reading starts with chapter 67, verse 1 through chapter 77, verse 50. Surah 67, ayat 1 through Surah 77, ayat 50. We're going to now ask our brother, Brother Abdul Shaheed Muhammad, would you close us with prayer, Brother Shaheed?
As-salamu alaykum and Ramadan Mubarak. Dear Muslims, let us close with prayer.
Qul a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم خير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of the dawn from the evil of that which he has created and from the evil of intense darkness when it comes and from the evil of those who cast evil suggestions and firm resolutions, and from the evil of the envier when he envies. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you, Brother Shaheed, for your prayers with us this morning. As we close, dear family, on behalf of our guest speaker, Brother Imam Sultan Rahman and his family, Brother Mukman, we thank you for your words with us and all that you do and have done in establishing, helping us to establish Islam. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family and dear minister, we thank you for all that you are doing and have done in establishing Islam and spreading this mighty word of Islam. May Allah continue to bless you, sir. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam, we thank Allah for you and your families, each and every one of you, and all that you are doing and have done to help and aid the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in establishing this word of Islam. On behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Sister Majida, Brother Nasser, and Brother Shaheed, and on behalf of each and every one of those who have went out yesterday and Saturday and were feeding our people throughout this country in Louisville and Lexington and the Whitehaven Study Group in Memphis, all in Birmingham and Houston and Washington, D.C. and Atlanta and Los Angeles. We were all over the place in New Orleans, everywhere the brothers and sisters were out feeding our people in Chicago and all in Cincinnati and Ohio. May Allah continue to bless each and every one of you for what you have done. If we gave 10 plates or 100 or 1,000, may Allah bless you all for the beautiful work that you were doing. On behalf of each and every one of you that make this program possible, let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim.
Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah.
Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.